Title of the message, Who Are You Waiting On? Just simply, who are you waiting on? Father, I thank you for the word tonight, and I thank you that you're always going to touch our hearts and touch our lives. And Father, just keep us open for everything that's going on. Keep us open to you speaking to us individually and corporately here, Father. We thank you, Lord, that as we walk through this, that you're going to help us as we walk through life. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Title is, Who Are You Waiting On? And the reason I've got that title is because I have found through the past couple months here that I have been, now the reason I'm preaching this is because if I've been going through it, you've probably been through it too. I have found myself turning to people, situations, and things more than God. Now think about it. When you go through stuff, you want this to change, and you want that to change, and you want this to be this way, and you want this person to show up, and you want this person to shut up, and you want, now come on. Let me tell you something. I'm going to guarantee you they're going to mess you up. They're going to let you down. They're going to disappoint you, because the only one that we should be turning to is the Father. Because when you put your hope in any situation, circumstance, thing, or person, Connie commented on it, it's a guarantee that you're going to get let down. And it's a guarantee that it's probably never going to happen. And if it happens, it's only because God moved through them. So, as I walk through this, the thing that we've got to see in this is we've got to build our expectations, yes, but our expectations have to be in God. Because I'm telling you, we plan these things and we plan this and we plan that, and then all of a sudden we get let down. I have always called that a death of vision, because it happens every time you put your hopes on something other than Christ. That you were believing for, those people you were believing for, those things you were believing for will always let you down. And it's because you're not supposed to be looking to them or that or those for the answer. Now, he uses people, every one of us here. It's no different than what's going on at this church. I mean, the way things move around, the way things go, God uses people. When things need to be bought, God uses people. When things need to be done, God uses people. But when your eyes are on people, God has an obligation to pull the grace off of that and get your eyes back on him. Because we talked about it last service. It's amazing how when we get to the bottom is when we finally look up. When we should never have to look up from the bottom, we should be able to look up all the time and not worry about the bottom. Because sometimes the bottom is where we're supposed to be to look up. Does that make any sense at all? How many of you have put your eyes on people? How many of you have planned something and knew that this other person had to come along with it or it wouldn't happen, and it failed? Most of us have been disappointed and been hurt. But Jesus is our expectation. He is our hope. Go to Romans 5, verse 1 and 2, if you will. And you don't have to be quiet. You can be noisy in this quiet church if you want to. That's okay. Throw things at me or just whatever you want to do. Make it easy on yourself. You know, when you come to that revelation that your expectation is always to be on Jesus. Now, you won't do it all the time, because we tend to default back to our old nature whenever things are going okay. But if we can just every day work on what I'm talking about tonight, you will find that every day will get better. And when you have situations and circumstances that come up, you've got to go, your default has to change. Like on your cell phone, if you've got Wi-Fi, I go to my house and it now defaults to my computer, so it doesn't use data. When I come here, it defaults to the computer that's sitting in the sound booth. We've got to get to the place where our default is not our old nature, but our default is the Word of God. Our default is where we're supposed to be. Our default is when I got a problem, I don't think about the problem. Me and Neil both have been talking about this a little bit. We've both lost too much sleep the last few nights over stuff that goes on in the body of Christ. And our default's not, we're not supposed to go there. We're supposed to see the problems, but then we're supposed to go straight to the source. Anybody here tonight recognize that you can't go back, and we say it a lot around here, but I'm not going there, but quit going to the problem and go to the source, because we even think in our problems, let's talk to this person and that person, and they'll help me fix the problem. No, you're making the problem bigger. You might get people on your side, but is that what God wants? You might get your little clique that don't like this, or your little clique that don't like that, but is that what God wants? So when you run into situations, your default needs to go to the Father, and then when you go to the Father, your hope is in what's going to really, it's, you know, we love it when we get people come in to talk, counsel. You've got, well, we'll say a man and a woman comes in to counsel, man and a wife, and you've got her opinion, you've got his opinion, and then you've got God's opinion, which is the right opinion. Well, see, that's the same thing happens to us in life. We've got people that let us down or people that build us up. But if your eyes are on those people, you are going to find that they're going to let you down and you're going to get crushed. Where if my eyes are on this hope, I'll never be let down, ever. I'll never be let down. Romans 5, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hope. Positive. Write it down if you don't have this in your brain. Positive expectation of good. That is the word hope. That's the definition of hope. Hope is not I hope so or it may happen. This hope is, it's a positive expectation of good. Now, when you look at that scripture, by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now, who are we standing with? We're standing with Jesus, the one we're supposed to be totally trusting in. I'm telling you, if you'll just turn your hope to him and trust the grace, I don't care what's going on in your business, in your life, in your situation, in your health. He is our only hope. He is our positive expectation of good. And the good part about it is, it's a guarantee. You say, well, I don't see it. You haven't stayed there long enough to see it then. Because if you ask, he'll answer. Did you hear me? If you ask, he'll answer. I love how it says it though, and it says, by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope, rejoice in that positive expectation of good of the glory of God. He gets all the glory. And if my eyes are on anybody, if my eyes are on anybody, that is not going to work, because that is not where my faith and my confidence is supposed to be in. I'm so thankful. I mean, my wife, we've been married almost 45 years. What a blessing she's been. But if my complete trust is even in her, I'm going to be let down. As well as I know her, I don't know her. Because we all need a Savior, and we're all going to fall short, guaranteed. So why not, anytime I see a problem, why not just go straight to the source that fixes the problems? I can fix a lot of marriages here tonight. Leave it alone. Let God have it. If you spend as much time in prayer as you do complaining, it'd be fixed. Why do I say that? Because that's what the Word says. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee he's going to take care of you. That hope, that positive expectation of good. See, he gives us, in his goodness, he has given every one of us individually a purpose. That's right. He has given each one of you a divine direction, a divine nature, well, his nature, but a divine place in what God's doing. There's nobody lacking. It's like during our program, I mean, you talk about trusting God. We don't have any understudies. Any one person that would come up missing, we would be in trouble. Especially some of your make, I mean, think about Jesus. I mean, here we are. He's the only Jesus we got. And he's climbing up and down ladders. He's working saws right 1 hour before things. One incident, and we would have to shut the whole program down. That's trusting. See, that's trusting. But where's our trust in that? Well, I know where Betty's is. It's in, Lord, take care of this bunch that we get through it again. I missed you this year. Because you always sit right here, and at the very end of the fourth one, we both looked at each other like, we made it again. I didn't get to do that this year. But I was thinking, we made it again. But see, it's turning everything to him. Lord, we got to have all these characters. Lord, the text got to work. We lost a whole scene this year in the last part. But somebody that never been here wouldn't even have known it. But we lost the whole, and it's the scene I like the best. I mean, I was almost like, let's play it again, Sam. Let's just do it at the end. But our hope has to be in him, because he has a purpose. He has a plan. He knows what's coming down the road. He knows who needs to be in positions in church. He knows the people that's got to be in the classrooms. He knows the people that's coming in. He knows all that's going on. And if we could just relax and say, okay, Lord, well, so-and-so, if they're not here, we're going to be in trouble. And if they don't do this, if they can't do this, you'll drive yourself crazy. I'm there. You've got to go back and go, he's got this. He'll take care of this. Jeremiah 29:11. Everybody knows this scripture. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future, a hope, a positive expectation of good. Now think about that. He knows me. When I was 12 years old, and I was in that little Methodist church, he knew already before the foundation of the earth that I was going to give my heart to Jesus. And you know what's crazy? I knew at that moment I was going to be a pastor. I didn't have any idea how, and I didn't even think about it much more than when I knew right then. But he knew that I'd be 32 before I would go follow my call. And he knew all the crazy stuff I would do till I was 32. But he also knew that I'm going to use everything that I allow him to walk through when he becomes a pastor. Well, when he tries to become a pastor at 32. Same with you. The same with you. I don't care where you're working or what you're doing. You are in a position, like Brenda said. Brenda said, obviously something happened. She was able to witness somebody at the hospital. God already knew, folks. See, that's why it's so easy for us, if you really think about it, is to have this positive expectation of good, to know that you've got hope, to know that everything's going to be okay, everything's going to be taken care of. See, anybody will mess you up if he's first or they're first. I get tickled. We say that sometimes, and I'm even guilty of it. You know, God's first. I can't believe I even put God on the scale. You know, well, God's first, and then my wife second, and then my kids, and then my family, and then my job. No, it's just God. I mean, think about it. You know, I'll come to church once a month. No. How do you come to church? How do you, maybe I'm talking to somebody on the internet right now. How do you do that? How do you have a relationship with the one that gives you hope? And you don't come to where he wants you to come to have fellowship with the people that's around you, because you might be used to be their hope.
That's exactly right.
And if you're not here to be the hope, and if you're not here to learn the hope, how are you going to be the hope if you don't even know what hope is?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much to this that you got to understand. See, anybody else, I'm going to be unfulfilled.
Yeah.
anybody but Jesus, I am unfulfilled. I find myself, and you all do too, that when you go through these seasons where you don't read the Word as much as you normally do, or you don't get to church, that you start feeling that emptiness inside of you. Well, the enemy always tries to fill it with somebody else, but that somebody else always lets you down. You got to go back and you got to recognize that my only happiness, my only fulfillment is in Him. Even if it's just sitting, I had someone talk to me before service. I want to learn how to pray like Connie and Monica do before church. And I said to that person, all you do is talk to them just like we're talking. That builds a relationship.
Yeah.
In that relationship, you'll be fulfilled. If you're not in that relationship, you know, it's kind of like if you don't have Him first, the ship gets off course. The rudder's not set right. You know, Scripture talks to us about that. You know, my heart always tends to go back to that default until I guess when I get a little more mature, it maybe won't so much. But I still go back to that default a lot of times. But Luke 12:34 tells me, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if my treasure is Jesus, then eventually my heart's going to be nothing but Jesus. And the more I'm hanging out with Jesus, the more I want to hang out with Jesus. And the more I hang out with Jesus, the more I'm going to know Jesus. And the more I know Jesus, the more I'm going to know the direction of my life. And the more I'm going to know my purpose in life. And the more I'm going to be satisfied with life. And let's go back to, who are you waiting on? I mean, Our goal has to be waiting on Him, because He always satisfies us. He always takes care of us. You know, James 1:6 says that he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. If you're one that is leaning on people, leaning on your job, leaning on your abilities, then that is going to fail you, because you are being tossed around, because that's not who you are supposed to be. You're supposed to be who you are in Christ. But who you are in Christ is putting Jesus in everything you do. I don't care if you're going to Walmart.
Yeah.
I mean, we had an incident last night. Our neighbor, Connie, took our neighbor down to Walmart, and she left her purse in the shopping cart
outside.
So she got in the panic mode. And so I took her down there, and we looked around, went inside and do all that you do there. And I even looked in the trash cans, thought maybe, because she just put five $100 bills in it. So her thing was, I don't care about the money. I just need all my stuff. So I looked at all, I look like a weirdo walking around the trash cans with a flashlight looking in. But I said, Pudge, that's her nickname. I said, Pudge, we got to just give this to the Lord. He will find that for you. And I said, just right now, Lord, we need this thing before the night's over. We just let it go. Now, what are we doing now? We're having a relationship.
Yes, sir.
Well, she had someone call her about 11 o'clock last night and said, is this Mrs. Combs? Yes, it is. I've got your purse. I can't get it to you, but I will open your front door and put it on you. And she laid up all night waiting. At 5 o'clock this morning, she heard the door. There was her purse. They had found that purse in the shopping cart.
All
what
there.
Are the odds yes, of that?
All there, yeah.
And everything was there.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, how'd that happen?
Put your expectations.
Prayer.
Because see, it's real easy to start, and it was happening. It's real easy to start blaming.
Yes, sir. That's right.
If they had good cameras, they could find who took it. And the list could go on and on and on and on and on. I said, no. I said, the Lord's going to show us where it's at and going to take care of it. It'll be okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
Her husband's in a hospital, and she, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
She didn't need this on top of everything else.
Yeah.
So the Lord blessed her.
Yeah.
But how did it all come about? By putting your hope in Him.
Yeah.
Not a wavering hope. Burying that rudder in. You know, James tells us all there, I think, chapter 3. James tells us, it's like a ship being steered by that little, you think of the size of a ship and that little bitty rudder in comparison that's going to direct and guide That's just like you. But see, when your hope is in Him, when your expectations, that positive expectation of good is in Him, I don't care what's going on in your situation, your circumstance, He is going to guide you and take care of you. You know, even if that purse would not have showed up, I know my God, and He would have taken care of the problem and the situation to where there would have been peace in the situation. See, it doesn't always go like you want it to go. See, if you're sitting there right now or by internet right now, and you're saying, well, I've had things happen that I just didn't want to happen. It's not up to you. And how it ends up is not up to you. I've taken many a side road that the Lord knew I was going to take them, and He used those side roads to get me back on the interstate. And in that going, I learned and was stronger and had more faith. Folks, this is all faith. This is all trusting in Him. But you don't know my marriage. It's a mess. Well, would you quit speaking and start speaking the right things and start saying, Lord, my husband's a mess. Could you fix him? I can't. Everybody?
Yeah.
He said, well, you'd say that? Well, yeah, I have. It's what Connie used to do to me and I used to do to her. And then he finally said, who's your hope in? You're trying to change her yourself. Yeah. Let her go. Leave her alone. Let me have her. I'll fix her. Is the work completed? Not neither one of us. But it's better than it used to be. Maybe because we're just not seeing it. Maybe we just laugh about it now. You know, we get older, we don't change. We're just, what do they say? Can't teach an old dog new tricks? I'm having trouble teaching a new dog new tricks, let alone an old dog. See, your hope has to be in Jesus alone. He gives that expectation that's real. James 3:4, set that rudder. Romans 4:18, think about it. Abraham was without, yeah. I mean, he had a situation that could not happen.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the Lord said to him, you will be a father of many nations. Sure, no problem. The wife even laughed.
Yeah.
But it says in Romans 4:18, it says, Abraham, even when it was no reason for hope, he went ahead and hoped. Yes. Basically is what it says. Even when there was no reason, like, God, this is a joke. I am old. She is old. I mean, come on. We even sleep in different tents now. Give it a break. But yet, even when there was no hope, even when in his heart there was no positive expectation of good, there was reason to go ahead. Why? Because the trust was in God. Folks, it's the same thing with you. Even when it looks like it cannot happen. I'm kind of going through that situation now. Our family is right now with the lawyers, with Chris's situation. It's like now for 2.5 months, we've had lie after lie after lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. That we've walked through now about 4 times with lawyers. And so I caught myself focusing on people.
Yes, sir.
I can't fix people.
Yep.
I caught myself wanting to get in the car and go up and talk. That would be real good. Now you got the one that's trying to help you, mad at you. Anybody? You know, and at first when this was going on, then we found out he was finding more things that never did come out in court. So then we was okay. See, we were okay then. But now it's drug out again. I don't know that he's not finding more things. Can I be real with you folks? Come on. Does this weigh on? Of course it weighs on people. This is life and death situations. But my hope cannot be in anybody. I don't care how good they look. My hope has to be in Jesus.
Amen.
And I have to give all those problems to Him, knowing that no matter, and you got to get to the place, no matter how it falls, no matter what's going on, He already knows the outcome.
Yes, He does.
And that's the part you got to just go back and go, okay, it's all good. I'm good. You'll have more, you'll sleep better. You'll have more peace. And fact is, he knows the purpose of all this. He knows the plan of all this. Why does he know it? Because he already knew it before I was even created.
Yes, he did. That's right.
Which is hard for our minds to see, but that's why you're not God. I'm glad that we're not God. We would be. What about Paul? I mean, think about Paul. He was a Jew above Jews. All his friends were Jews. And then he comes along and the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, everything's changed now. We're not under the law anymore. We are now under grace. And the blood took care of it all forever, evermore. So I want you to teach grace. If you pay attention, what Jesus was saying in the Gospels was grace. But you are now to write the rest of the books and you speak on grace. Now think about him. You think he didn't have to lean on Jesus? Because everybody on his side was now against him. What are you talking about? What are you doing? He could not put his eyes on those Jewish leaders that he was sitting under.
Right.
He then had to go, you're wrong. I know what God told me. I have a relationship with Jesus, and Jesus spoke to me personally, and all of this has passed away, and now it's new, and now we're under grace, and now you're totally forgiven, and now it doesn't matter how bad I mess up, you still love me. It's all about love. It's all about grace. I'm sure he laid up many a night talking to the Father. Lord, what do I do tomorrow? I mean, there's place in there where he says, you're going to go to a certain place and you are going to be persecuted.
Yeah.
Do I really have to go? Yes, you have to go. This is all part of what's going on. You have to go. But who do I... you don't trust anybody because... Does he not say, don't trust any man? I mean, the more you think about Paul's life, oh my goodness. You think you're being persecuted. He was the Jew above Jews. I mean, he even said that. I knew it better than anybody. I knew what I was talking about. Now, all of a sudden, I have to turn to him because he's the only one that knows what I'm supposed to be saying. And I'll give you what you're supposed to say in the scriptures. I'll tell you what you just don't worry about. You just go. And all those around you, for a while, they won't even like you. And we're going to trust this guy that used to kill us. Sure. I mean, think about it, folks.
Yeah.
He trusted Jesus. And if he can trust Jesus, so can you. Fact.
Yeah.
A fact. Interesting part about this, as you wait on him, you know, who are you waiting on? See, the Bible tells me in John 15, 1 John 5, I want to go there real quick. 1 John 5. I'm going to get everybody a little megaphone so you can talk back to me. 1 John 5, look at 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him.
Yeah.
Well, now, how does that tie into what I'm talking about? Well, who are you waiting on? You waiting on man to supply your needs? You waiting on a situation, a circumstance? You waiting on a lottery ticket? I mean, what are you waiting on? All you have to do is have a relationship with the Father. See, when you have a relationship with the Father, you start building a knowing of what he likes and what he don't like. And the Bible says that he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, how do I learn the desires of his heart? By hanging around with him. By spending time with him. You all know, I mean, if you've been with someone very long, I mean, Connie and I don't even have to talk sometimes. And I know exactly what her desire is. I know exactly the direction she wants to go. I know exactly what's on her mind. Sometimes you'll have quiet times because you don't need to talk because you've been together so much, you've communicated so much that you have an understanding of the desires. Jesus has desires that he wants done on earth, and he uses you and I to get those done.
Yes, right.
You have desires that need to be met. He knows that. So he might use Connie to meet your desire. He might touch me to meet your desire. He might have you meet my desire.
Right.
I can remember when we first started in the ministry, we took a complete half cut in salary when we started here. When I worked at the mines, I made this much. When I started here, it was completely half. There had to be some needs met. Who do you use? People. Someone had on their heart, then they had a desire. Well, whose desire was it? It was God's desire. And how did they get that desire? By spending time with the Father. By just listening to that still, small voice that they communicate with all of the time. Give them, do this, do that. And in that first period of our ministry here, for 5 or 6 years, the lack we had was always made up. Every time. Oh, God is such a good God. As you spend time with Him, you learn those desires. See, my heart becomes His heart. What a wonderful thing. My heart. You know, and as you grow into this, He'll give you things. Because see, once you learn that voice, that quiet, it's not that boom, boom, boom. That quiet, still voice. Then He says, ah, they're perfect to be used now for some of the gifts of the Spirit. Which we've all got. But He directs them.
Yeah.
You know, and Jamie needs a word, and this is what Jamie needs. So the Lord kicks it off in maybe my heart, and then I have this burden, and then in my talking to the Lord about Jamie, well, Lord, what's her needs? And then I may not get it right then, but I've already directed that I'm willing, and then I run into Jamie, for example, and the Lord would just give me something to say to her. I mean, it could be, hello, you look good today. You look nice today. You look pretty today. You may get a word of wisdom. You may get a word of knowledge. You may come up to somebody, and the Lord just say, just reach over and touch your shoulder. Don't make no big deal out of it. Just say, hey, bless you, and I hope you're feeling better. Gift of healing flow through you. I mean, the list goes on and on. But you've got to go back to who you waiting on. Some man ain't going to give you those kind of things. And if you run around with those kind of people, those are called familiar spirits, and those will get you in trouble. We used to, during a charismatic move, everybody got together and they, oh, let me have a word for you, let me have a word for you. Well, that happens, but there's a lot more flesh in it than happens. But boy, sometimes here we hold off too much. So everybody here's got something at times for people. When you come in, we need to start giving more. We need to start sharing more. We need to start letting that move in us more. Let's just don't get flat in this, but we got to understand, who are you waiting on? I mean, as you're driving in, Lord, give me something for somebody. That's all you got to say. You're communicating. You're building a relationship. You're getting something stirred up inside you, and He's always got the answer. Psalms 27:14 says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. That's not just during hard times. That's all the time. Who are you waiting on? You want an answer to something? Quit waiting on a person.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm preaching to me as much as I am you tonight. Because I've had to work through this. Ever since I dealt with this sickness this thing that hit me months back, I've had a lot of trouble in that realm of the emotions. It's just like, come on. Come on. Well, who am I coming on to? The only one that can fix it is Him.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, He's it. I've had to contain myself a little bit because my emotions, if I let them go, I'll just start bawling and I can't stop myself. All because of this. But Doc can't fix it. I can't fix it. I've just got to trust Him, but I got to trust Him.
Yes,
that's right. And just be flat honest with you, this has been tough for me. I mean, I can't even start talking. See? But Him. See, we've got to get to the place that it doesn't make any difference what's going on. We got to go back to him. Because who am I waiting on? I can't wait on you. I can't wait on me. I can only know that whatever I ask and whatever my desires are, he is going to answer.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. And he always does. That's the exciting part about it. Yes. It's just our waiting.
Yeah.
Anybody agree with that one? Because see, that's when this gets in the way. This waiting game that we have. Well, I've been praying for 30 years. Well, just keep praying. You know, and really on that, you're not begging. You're thinking. You thank him. After you've prayed initially, you let it go and say, okay, Lord, I thank you that all this is going to straighten out. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that this is coming. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to show me a way to pay this bill. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to show me how to deal with this sickness. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to take care of this. I thank you, Lord, that I'm already healed. I thank you, Lord, that my wife is straightened out. I thank you, Lord, that I'm straightened out. I thank you, Lord, that everything's good. I thank you, Lord, that all these empty seats are going to get filled back up. I thank you, Lord, that every need's going to be met.
That's right.
I mean, that's really where it's at. No, now, how quick is that going to happen? I've seen myself, and I'm not going to say where because it's on the internet, but I've seen myself standing in a church where it was packed full, not this church, another church, packed full, and I know the building, and it hasn't happened yet. But does that mean it's not going to happen?
No, not at all.
So that desire, it's not really a desire, it's just that I know it's going to happen. So what do I do with that? I go back, right back. I don't try to make myself get to that place. I don't go to man to try to work my way to that place. I go to the Father and say, thank you, Lord, you showed me this, and I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's like Brad and Jeff and the crew that's getting together this NRG, no regular gathering, that they're going to have for the people. They already know in their heart what God has showed them. So now it's not begging God, God, can you? Thank you, Lord, that you are. Thank you for providing the finances it's going to take to do the special stuff they're going to do. Thank you for people that's going to give to them, which I had $200 give to me tonight to put toward that. Thank you, Lord, for supplying the funds that they're going to have to do the different thing they're doing. That's all in relationship. Now, can you make things happen? Yeah, there's a few things I know on the inside that they've tried to do that just fell flat. And then they come to that place, we're not going out there no more, it's you. It's kind of like this building, this property. Connie and I was looking, all of us were looking, we were looking. I went to a house just up the road here to look into some property, and I got out of the car and a pit bull grabbed me right by the back of the leg right here. And she was in the car and couldn't do nothing. I was standing there and couldn't do nothing. Finally, the neighbor hollered at the dog, and the dog let go. And I still got a scar from it. Let go, and I got in the car, and I said, Connie, I'm not looking for any more land. I'm done. The Lord will bring it to us. It wasn't a week later this land come up. See, I can. Who you waiting on? Not man. Not people. Not things, not situations. Him and him alone is who we're looking at. In every situation, every circumstance, we trust in him. Proverbs 10:24 says, the desire of the righteous will, listen to this. Listen, everybody listen to me. The desire of the righteous will be granted. Doesn't say maybe. The desire of the righteous. Who's righteous in this building? Everybody that believes in Jesus.
Yes.
Look it up if you want to. The desire of the righteous will be granted. I don't know what it says in the Amplified. See, our expectation has got to be the place. Listen, let us hold fast the confession of our faith. What's that saying? Just what it says. Let us hold fast that confession that what's birthed inside you. Let us hold fast speaking the truth of this word. Let us hold fast speaking that this is the only truth. The more I'm around, the more I'm around, there is no truth anywhere. right here. I mean, the situation with the purse last night, what are the odds anymore? Now, it used to be, if you found somebody's purse like that, almost everybody would have carried it into Walmart and took care of it.
Yes.
But now your odds are about one in. It's a God thing.
Right.
Why? Because we purpose to direct our focus not on the problem, not on man, but on Jesus.
Right.
My confession cannot leave. It's got to be, Lord, thank you that you're going to take care of that situation. Lord, thank you.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you. No matter what's going on in life, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. I mean, we've got people here, Will and Sarah. They're probably in class tonight. He needs a job. But now what they've got a purpose to do is just what I'm saying. They've got to say, okay, Lord. I thought I had a something headed out today, and he went over to fill out the application. They had a fence up, not taking any applications. So another, But you got to automatically go, okay, Lord, you promised to take care of me. And we talked about this. I'm not just saying. You promised you'll supply. And he will, folks.
Right.
He will supply.
Yes.
And that's in everybody that's in here that's going through anything that you're going through. I can go around the room, and I know people are working in places that are horrible. I mean, Steve's chaplain, head chaplain over the whole state, and he's got a bunch of dingbats for chaplains, and he's got a system that is totally against Christianity.
Yeah.
But God.
But
God, he's planting seed. He's just doing what he can do. And he's just getting up and you just do what you got to do. And you trust God. You keep everything in focus to him. You turn on him. You know he's going to take care of it without wavering. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope, positive expectation of good, without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Not kind of, sort of. We kind of live that way. We're kind of going to have a meeting. No, we're going to have a meeting. It's not kind of faithful. He is faithful. What's amazing about it, when he rides in, when it's all said and done, it's going to say faithful on it. I am faithful. I told you I'd come back. I'm coming back. No time too soon. With all that's going on, but obviously there's more people that's got to know Jesus.
Yeah.
He's coming back, he's coming back, he's coming. Hebrews 11:1, last scripture. Everybody knows that scripture. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Listen, if you've asked, he will supply. If he's put that in your heart, you know, If you're not spending time with Jesus, you may be believing for a new Porsche. You may be believing for a new Corvette. And you may think that's really the desire of your heart. Well, in fact, unless he's going to use that in the ministry for some way to get glory, that's your desire. That new Corvette I commented on, that's not his desire. Now, if he wants to give me one, that'd be cool. But I don't know what I'd do with it. I don't drive the one I got. You're to be used. It's not about you. And when you get that mindset, then as you spend time with him, you stop thinking about what you need and you start thinking about what other people need, and he starts giving you those desires. You pray. He answers the prayer by using you or using somebody else. It's just a big, nice circle. And then all of a sudden, when I have a desire and I take it to him, because you're supposed to take it to him. Lord, I need this. Thank you for supplying it. And then you let it go and thank him. Then he'll put it on somebody else's heart, some other situation, and out of nowhere you'll get a phone call and you'll get the answer. I had a minister today call me yesterday and said, here's my need. Things have changed in the ministry realm. I have a need because financially this is where I used to make my living, and I want to share the gospel. Do you know anybody that would like to have my kind of meetings? Well, what's going on there? God's moving on. And it was with a humble heart, because there's those that call that you know, oh, this guy's out of the way. But see, So then I'm taking it and I'm weighing it. I've got it rolled on my desk. And if that stirs in me, I do know some ministers that might be able to use this man. But I got to, I got to wait on him to touch here. And then I'll have the green light to go there. Because if I go there first, it's kind of like, I know a lot of people that could help get jobs. But until I get a total green light, I can't pick up the phone and say, hey, I've got so-and-so that needs a job. I think they'll do you good. Not that they would or they wouldn't, but it's getting the green light.
Yes, that's true.
If, even in the side that we're working, you've got to have this. Who are you waiting on? I'm waiting on him to give me a green light to go. I'm waiting on him to give me a, let's get it done. Because we can get, some people are in such positions that they can get, look at politics.
Oh, yes, sir.
I mean, you got people in positions, they don't even know what they're doing, but they got there by people. They won't make it. You want to make it? Just get in position with him.
Yeah.
And wait on him. Well, what if it takes 6 months? It'd be perfect. If it's God. Well, what if he does it the next day? That'd be perfect as a God too, but no more perfect than 6 months from now or a year from now. When you put your trust in him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Who you waiting on? Let's change it. Let's stand up. Let's change it. Let's change it tonight. Let's give this to the Lord. Let's no matter what's going on at your work, in your family, in just your everyday situations. Father, I thank you that the only answer is you.
Yes.
Father, everything is you. There is no list that you're first and this is second and this is third. You're everything, Father. And I thank you, Father, that we are going to catch ourselves in the coming weeks. We're going to catch ourselves that we're going the wrong way in who we're waiting on or what we're expecting to happen. And we're going to turn that back to you. And we're going to give everything to you, Father. No matter what's going on in our lives, we give it to you, Father. And we thank you for that, Father.
Hallelujah.
Father, tonight, as we leave here, I thank you that you're going to settle this in people's hearts. That they're going to be reminded. They're going to hear my voice. Just asking, who are we waiting on? When our answer is Jesus. And we thank you for that, Father. We give you all the praise tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Call you blessed. You are dismissed. See you all Sunday.